Hello, beautiful beings. Welcome to the True Nature Podcast. I'm Taj Savitri, your host, mentor for spiritual entrepreneurs and intuitive healer. In this podcast, we explore all things expansion, psychedelics, consciousness, and spirituality. Here you will find transmissions from the world's leading healers and guides. And my hope is that you leave feeling more happy, abundant, and empowered by your life. Most importantly, inspired to live in the fullest, most unique expression that is you. By the laws of nature, when you expand as an individual, when you grow, heal, and prosper, your external world, this planet, and the humans on it greatly benefit. They grow, heal, and prosper because of you. That means we all matter. We all contribute to the growing presence of peace and harmony on this planet. Welcome home to your true nature. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode on the True Nature Podcast. I have another beautiful, amazing, fiery being on here, Sabrina Riccio, modern medicine priestess, mystical marketing muse, and definitely a psychedelic advocate like myself. Hi, Sabrina.
I like to call myself a psychonaut.
Psychonaut. How are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm doing so good. So briefly, I just want to mention that Sabrina was out supporting Bernie Sanders yesterday. Do you want to share a little bit about that experience?
Because
I love Bernie.
Yeah, Bernie. I'm a Bernie babe all the way. I have a deep passion for politics because I just believe that we have to bring the power back to the people. And I had zero interest growing up as a kid because there was never like a candidate that really spoke to me. So I didn't understand things and I didn't understand like the parties and things like that. And I'll dive into this deeper as we talk. But in 2012 was when I really started gaining a deeper interest. It's the year that a lot of people recognize massive transformations. And this year in particular, we just finished a Saturn 7-year cycle of 2012. Mm-hmm. And I started getting involved in politics then and starting to see what was going on. And then here comes Bernie Sanders in 2016. And I was like, oh my God, someone that actually like speaks for me, someone who I resonate with. And so I volunteered for him in 2016 and I volunteered for him last night. And it's so funny because when I went there, I didn't see him. I saw him. I felt like I was an equal to him. It wasn't like this hierarchy, which I feel like so many people, even in the spiritual community, it's like, oh, like they put people on a pedestal or whatever. But when I met Bernie last night, I gave him a hug and, you know, I said, God bless you, even though he's Jewish, I just had to share that blessing. And he was just so genuine and kind. And, I'm really looking forward for 2020 Crystal Vision because I just, you know, there's so much of the media that is bashing him right now and bashing progressives all around who are here acting to implement real change. And I was there yesterday and I was like in charge of like escorting like the VIP as in like his wife, Jane Sanders' sister, or like politicians that are like local city council members or what have you. And there was someone that needed medical attention last night and I just was there holding space. Like I was supposed to be on stage behind him and then that changed because they still needed our help by the time they filled up the stage or whatever. And I was like, whatever, there's a reason why. And that reason was like this older woman really needed help. And I was able to hold space and create that container. And as you know, the gift of my work and the work that I do, and I was rewarded by meeting Bernie Sanders after in a way. And I had no idea I was going to meet Bernie Sanders. You know, I just knew that I had to step up and show up. If I was here to volunteer, even if I wasn't a volunteer, I would have still volunteered to help hold space for this woman. There's a lot of older people and it was outside and you know, this is a huge issue that we're having with health, and how can we make it more accessible? And for me, I think part of that health and the accessibility of health is also talking about psychedelic therapy. So for me, this is another reason why I really support Bernie Sanders and progressive movement, because they are working on the legalization of marijuana. They are working on the legalization and psychedelic reform, drug reform. And so these are things I'm really passionate about, because I'll just dive into it right now. If you don't know my story,
let's go.
If you don't know my story, I've been navigating through depression for 30 years. And in 2012, right around that time, I started getting more political and more awareness of what was going on. I was struck by lightning, and it was a 7-year cycle, as I said, a Saturn cycle of really healing from being struck by lightning, the PTSD, the psychosis, the paranoia, just the overall nervous system damage that I had from this freak accident. And from that, I have a deeper container to hold, because I literally was electrocuted. Like, I was shocked in a way that
she was literally struck by lightning.
The initiation of the shaman is to be struck by lightning.
Okay, I guess I'm still waiting.
It's not a very fun journey, let's just say that. Especially, I mean, it took a long time to get there, but I just know that it's no longer an accident, but it's just been part of my path now. And it's a deeper understanding as to how I'm here to serve and how I'm here to show up and how I'm here to teach and lead, you know. And for me, I'm educating people about the political system and what's going down, because this is how I want to see change in the world, you know? And
I just want to note real quick that I love how you're doing it too. It's not so extreme, because I think that's what can get people really afraid of politics, just like religion. It's like how far deep you go into it. But the way you speak about it is just really, it's so relatable.
Thanks. I'm a storyteller. That's what I do. And so I share through my own story of, like, for instance, like a couple months ago when all the fires were happening in California, I was educating people about how prisoners that are like nonviolent prisoners, they're the ones that are fighting a lot of these big, big fires, and they're only getting paid $1 an hour for that. And then when they get out of jail, they can't become firefighters because they have this record, even though they've served their time. Like, they've served their time, but now they're just like outcasted, and it's really hard for them to reacclimate into society. And my cousin was one of them. And so sharing a story like that, which he ended up getting back into drugs, and then like the drug dealer killed him, mm-hmm. threw him in the middle of the desert. And my dad had to identify my cousin by his tattoos. Mm-hmm. And so things like it's through storytelling and genuine connection that really, it really is what catalyzes me to bring that heart-centered awareness of, hey, I see you and I know what you're going through. And this is what I've had to experience. And I want you to know that you're not alone, because I feel like as a spiritual teacher, you have to be relatable.
Absolutely.
And that's because I'm just so tired of these spiritual teachers that are, again, on this pedestal. Mm-hmm. And then when you meet them, they treat you like shit, or it's just so ego driven.
Which is so against every bit of embodiment that is about all the spiritual teachings of humility and like living and teaching from your heart.
Well, I just had a huge aha like a couple weeks ago about it, was that if this is the Aquarian age, the polar side of the Aquarius is Leo. Okay. And so so I feel like if you're not in the pure alignment of the Aquarian energy, you can get into the shadow aspect of Leo. And there can be a lot of egotism in Leo. And I can say this because I'm a Leo rising. So I know this as a fact, because this is part of what I have to check myself with my own personality. And so,
I love how honest you are about that.
Oh, I have no problem like sharing my flaws and like my weaknesses, because that's what makes me fucking human. And that's the other thing. I'm tired of spiritual teachers, love and lighting, ignoring the shadow, hello, you have to like plant the seed in the dirt for it to grow. Like the shadow work is where transformation happens. So I'm a very, no bullshit. I'm not like a basic bitch spirituality kind of guide. I'm very genuine to what it takes to be human, because I've had to go through the whole spectrum of depression, of suicide, of all anxiety, fear, loneliness, like all the icky, challenging parts of being human, the karmic shit. I've had to go through all of it to get to the space of where I am now. And if I weren't talking about it, then I would be completely denying my path and what's brought me here into this moment.
Totally. And I love that we're just touching on this, like this, I'm going to call it like a new way of leading. When I was in the Amazon rainforest, my friend who's the leader of the tribe, one of the things he said, he's like, I'm not your healer. I'm not your teacher. I'm with you.
Yeah. You are the guru you've been waiting for. Stop thinking it's outside of you, because then you're just empowering yourself.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So I totally resonate with that. And I've been reflecting on that too myself, where it's like, how can leaders be more vulnerable? Because that's actually strength. And that's where you lead people from, by saying, I'm human too.
Oh, totally. Like I said, this has been like 2019 was a year. And this, the past, like the last decade has just been a year of me really addressing that. And really embracing the vulnerability. And now coming into 2020, I'm like, I'm an open book, and I'm not going to shame myself for my journey. And I trust that when I speak my truth unapologetically, that's the healing for someone else, because it's just like that permission slip for someone else to be like, it's okay for me to feel this way too.
Totally. I was about to say permission slip. That's what it does. It gives others permission to speak their truth and to fully be themselves.
Totally.
In the dark and the light.
Most important. You need both aspects. Yin yang is the dark and the light.
Yeah.
Because otherwise the pendulum's going to swing the other direction too far of what we've been. And you need to find that equilibrium and that balance. And that's what, to me, 2020 is. As a Kundalini yoga teacher, it's a 4-year. 4 years, the neutral mind. Four in terms of tantric numerology. And so that's where you have the balance between the negative mind and the positive mind. And that's what we have to come to the space of, to recognize both sides of the coin and to see it as the coin.
Can you explain a little bit with numerology in 2020, like what can people expect in this coming year? Cause I'm feeling a lot of big energy already.
Yeah. Well, already 22 is a master number of spiritual. It's like, this is a year of spiritual mastery. So the way that I'm seeing what's happening, like a lot of us who got the activation in 2012, we just finished a Saturn year cycle, a 7-year cycle of deep learning. And that's why it's been fucking brutal. Now there's people who are just starting the spiritual path in 2020. Like they're going to start diving in deeper. Or there's people who've been doing it for like 2-3 years that are like getting to like the hump. You know what I mean? They're like, they're climbing up the mountain. Us that had the journey in 2012, we're coming down the mountain now, and we're sharing what we found. That's what I feel 2020 is.
Yeah. I'm feeling that so hard right now. That's why like this whole rebrand, it's like, all right, we're all getting ready for like a bigger mission, essentially.
We're stepping into our power.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's 2020 crystal vision is what I've just been hearing. I heard it all last year. I've been feeling it ever since like I was younger, like 2020 crystal vision, where we get to really see what's true. And then we get to see what's bullshit. So I feel like this is going to be a massive year of discernment.
Oof, that came up for me yesterday. I was reading a book yesterday and discernment came up versus judgment, to just be more discerning.
Yes. Discernment is everything, because this is where you get to learn to trust yourself, trust your gut instinct, which is to me like the mind of your spirit in a way. Mm-hmm. Even though your spirit doesn't really have a mind, but this is just the way that we're communicating. And again, if you have the gut instinct, that's the solar plexus that's formed between the ages of like 16 and 22. So you're going back to like your collegiate years, the end of your high school years, and you got to clear out any of the insecurities from that time of your life. You've got to really reclaim your power from that space. Where were you bullied? Where were you discrediting yourself? Where were you beating yourself up? What was your abuse to alcohol or to drugs or to whatever abuse it is, and get all that in line if you really want to have a deeper connection to your truth. And also with the 4 year, it's a lot of that Jupiter energy as well. And so this is a massive year of expansion, or pointer finger in Kundalini yoga, or just in when we talk about our hands, that are, you know, our destiny is in our hands. And we talk about the palmistry, like the Jupiter finger, the pointer finger, this is expansion. And so we are expanding. And that's why up until 2012, especially during, I feel like started at the, it's been like, it really hit hard on the 12-12 portal, but it's been the month of December and Sagittarius season was a lot of people really preparing, like ascension flu and like purging and the ugliness, because we've had to make space for 2020 because this is going to be a massive decade.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were a little sick too, right?
For like, I'm still months. Sick. Like, it's been a month. I'm like waking up every morning phlegmy because I'm like, okay, it's time for me to step up and speak my truth. And my Jupiter is conjunct my sun sign in Gemini. So it's, again, communication. Like, they're right next to each other. Jupiter and the sun were right next to each other when I was born. Mm-hmm. And so this is the time for me to really step up and speak up. And I'm at that space now where like I was such the people pleaser for so long. And like the amount of people I helped with branding for free that were like teachers, spiritual teachers that I thought were my friends that used and abused me. And then they were done with me and ran off. I'm done with that. I'm so done with that. And even today, people are like, oh, can you help me? I was like, yeah, this is a charge, you know?
Totally.
And people are like, oh, you don't want to trade? I'm like, no, I don't. I have enough knowledge. Thank you.
Yeah. And so I feel like it's definitely a time where like we are, and I'm talking about we, like the collective, if you have a gift, like it's time to start being compensated as well, to be in that abundant flow.
And that's my take. I want more good people making good money, doing great things in the world.
Absolutely. Cause handing the power over to those who are doing like the medicine people.
Yeah.
Then we'll have more collective healing.
This is the biggest thing I feel like we're really dropping right now. And that story in terms of like, back when medicine people were always taken care of by the tribe and by the community, like they didn't have to pay for anything. People would go and heal. Mm-hmm. But we live in a modern world now where we got bills to pay. We got things to do. And with that money, we can support other people on their business. With that money, we can support small business. With that money, we can donate to people like Bernie Sanders or donate to nonprofit groups that speak to us to implement that change. So this is another part of the dialogue of switching our relationship to money, because we were so conditioned of like money is the root of all evil, or, you know, all of those stories around money. Mm-hmm. When it's just simply an energetic exchange.
Totally. Yeah. And I feel like it's important to speak to too, that there has been this really heavy program of, if you're spiritual and if you have gifts, whether you're a yoga teacher, a shaman, a witch, or whatever the fuck you want to call yourself, that you don't have to be broke. You don't have to be broke.
I've been broke, and it's not fun. And
it actually is very, like very contractive and constricting of your gifts. Mm-hmm. Like you can't, because you're so worried about the density, it's a lot harder to connect to your gifts, which is source.
Mm-hmm. So well, there's so much of the pressure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of so like, how am I going to get this shit done? How am I going to pay my bills? Or like,
you're not worried about your mission. Yeah. So this is your permission slip to be okay with making lots of money.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also important to also not price gouge people with your services as well. Because totally. I've done coaching programs where I paid $8,000 and got nothing out of it.
Yeah. That's the discernment.
Yes. Yes. I was promised all these things and I was like, I haven't gotten any, this is month 4 and I still haven't gotten any results out of it. So I also feel like there's there's the opportunity to also recognize that, because people are still working through healing a lot of the ancestral lineage around money, especially, you know, with so much of coming from family of immigrants who came with nothing, and or these you know, different minority groups that have a harder time because of the white privilege, you know, and bringing things like that. So it's also important for us to allow our teachings to be accessible for those who are struggling in a bit too, to help bring that motivation. That's why I love platforms like podcasting, because it's a way to get medicine. I'm just celebrating my 100th episode of my podcast, the Sovereign Society podcast.
A century.
It's crazy. I started podcasting in 2016 before the wave of podcasting started. It's studying marketing. I'm very good at spotting trends before they're trends and what's coming. And so I started my podcast in 2016, and the amount of messages I got from people saying how, you know, it was medicine that helped them get through the darkest time in their life, it means everything to me. Mm-hmm. It really does. And to be able to share and teach in that space. So there's also has to be the balance of compensation and the balance of sharing and delivering to the people that are really in need.
Right. That have these gifts, and they're kind of worried about the day to day. So, you know, there might be things on these podcast episodes that are signs, or, you know, these messages from the universe, or that
our permission slips,
or permission slips, or that thing that they needed to hear to just let that layer fall off and help them move through the mud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool.
So it's like, it's going to be an interesting time, especially with this upcoming decade and seeing how technology comes in. We have to make sure that AI doesn't take over. You know, we're seeing a lot of jobs being lost due to self checkouts or things like that. And so we have to also make sure that with those job losses, that there's opportunities for people to have jobs. Mm-hmm. That's another reason why I support Bernie Sanders. But then they're talking about like, oh, like unemployment's down. No, it's not. Like, people are having to take two or three jobs just to pay their bills. And so we have to think about, if as a spiritual teacher, becoming humble enough to also recognize what else is doing. Because what I've noticed is that a lot of spiritual teachers, in air quotes, they only want to hang around other spiritual people. That's not what spirituality is about.
That is a thing that I've noticed as well too. And I feel like this is so important to speak to, because there's the trendiness of seeking a spiritual teacher as people are awakening. They're wanting to be guided. For myself, when I had my awakening about 6 years ago, I wish someone like me or you existed, but that wasn't a resource available to me. And so I feel like there's a lot of shit that comes up when you have your awakening. You're like, fuck, okay, I need a guide, someone to just let me know at times that this is okay, this is normal. And it's really easy when you look at it very three-dimensionally, especially on platforms like social media. You're like, oh my God, this person has it all together. But are they embodied?
Most of it's staged.
Totally.
I'm telling you right now, a trend that's going to be happening with social media in 2020, people want more realness. Like, I'm tired of all of the professional photo shoot, Instagram perfect feeds. Instagram, instant Instagram. Like, people want genuine connection. And so many people spend all this money on professional photo shoots, and you look on like how many likes or whatever they have, jack shit compared to how many followers they have. So if you're someone who's like stressed out, starting your business, and you're like, oh my God, I can't afford the photo shoot, don't fucking worry about it. Like, that's going to continue to deter you from showing and sharing your medicine. So don't get caught up with, oh, well, like, I don't have the right photo shoot or the perfect looking website. You just need to start sharing the medicine. Get the energy going, and then more of the opportunity will be able to come through.
Yeah. And you already have everything you need. You just put your phone on a little, I don't know, against a plant or a pot or something.
I mean, there's so many easier ways than just stressing yourself out, because we're comparing ourselves and stuck in that comparison paralysis as to like, oh, well, this person has like 150,000 followers. Like, they're worth something. A lot of people buy their followers.
Totally. So it's like being aware of the illusions, always being aware of the illusions. And I'm even guilty of having gotten caught up in all of that,
because That's why I'm sharing, because I've been there.
Yeah. So don't worry about that. And that tends to be an excuse sometimes when you're striving for perfection, but it'll never be perfect. That's
honestly the most important thing you need to do when starting your business is knowing who you're here to serve, what's your message, and where are the pain points as to where your client is that you are going to help them bridge into the next phase. That's like all you need to focus on. Mm-hmm. And be consistent with it. And that's how you can have a successful business and brand. That's it.
And have spiritual resiliency. I'll add that on there, because there are times when you're like, fuck, that didn't work. Or I didn't reach the right people, or, you know, this project or course.
You're going to fail. And it's cool. Totally. But at least you tried. I always quote the Queen Aaliyah. If at first you don't succeed, dust yourself off and try again. Like,
truth.
You gotta just keep going, right?
Yeah, you gotta get back up. And I'm seeing, you know, there are people that just get so discouraged first try. They're like, it didn't work. And I'm like, God, that's not the way it works. Like, as is life, you gotta keep getting back up and get creative. Uh-huh.
And it's really important to have your structures set up too, because then things can flow. That's the masculine energy, to allow that creative femininity, the receptivity to just flow. So take the time focusing on your structures. Take the time on knowing who your soul babe is. Take the time knowing their pain points and where you're taking them.
Yeah.
This is what's like your message?
Metaphysics of business too. Working with the masculine and the feminine energy is really important. Strategy is important, but I find that like business is 50% energy.
Oh, that's why I just like got the download as the Mystical Marketing News, because I don't see a lot of people talking about marketing and business and bringing more of the cosmic energy into it.
Yeah.
So that's what I do.
Yeah. And that's what helped me succeed in my business when there were other like life coaches. I was like, I'm going to do a spiritual thing, because Source is saying do the spiritual thing. Mm-hmm. Because I've just been through so much and I've worked with the medicines, and it didn't make sense to some people how I did so well. And I was like, you guys, I have my Kundalini practice in the mornings. Like, I prioritize my spiritual practices. And that's why I do really well, because I'm tuning in and I'm working with energy. And like I said, half of it is about working with energy. It's energy.
Well, life is a spiritual practice. You're a spiritual being having a human experience.
Yeah.
So the way that you show up, you know, not like, even if you miss a meditation a day, like, don't beat yourself up. That's another really important thing to do too. Like, just if you mess up, don't beat yourself up. Just get back on the horse.
Exactly. So I want to segue a little bit into the psychedelics, because you know I wanted to talk about this.
Yeah, I'm all about the plant medicine life.
Yeah. So when did you start working with the plant medicines? Was it when you were in depression or?
Oh, so I grew up in a household where my mom never smoked a joint in her life.
Okay.
So I had so much of the fear mongering around anything. Marijuana.
Yeah. Like drugs are bad.
Yeah. Total drugs are bad and okay kind of vibe. Right. And so I first smoked cannabis in high school, my senior year, like that winter break. And I was really depressed then. And then I started working with it then. And then I was just smoking cannabis. That was a lot of what was helping me with the depression. But then it got to the point where I became addicted to it in a way of, alcohol was never taboo in my family either, because I'm super Italian. So it was like I've been drinking wine my whole life. And like, even to this day, I rarely drink, but I can, if everyone's like, I haven't for so long. And then lately I like had like fun. Everyone's like, wow, you can really hold it down. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I just don't. But, I was working with cannabis a lot. And then, I discovered, cause I'm going to talk about all of it. I discovered, MDMA.
I love that you're like, we're going to go for it. We're going to talk.
I'm just speaking. This is my story.
Yeah.
I found MDMA, but it was ecstasy, really, really bad press pills with like lots of other shit in it. January of 2011. So my senior year, and I started doing it like at festivals. And the first time I did it at a festival, I like literally, I communicated with God. Mm-hmm. It was a super moon. And I was watching Cascade, whose music like saved me from suicide. And it was the first time God like came through. And I just felt this like instant like connection. I was like, oh my God, I've tapped into something that I've been calling for 21 years. And so then I started abusing ecstasy, which turned into MDMA. Never had enough time for serotonin to hit my, to like regenerate, because I was like 21 and stupid, but like I was having a lot of fun at that time, I have to just say, but really dumb, because I was not taking care of myself. I had no sense of awareness of anything.
Were you going to lots of festivals at the time?
Oh yeah.
Raves and festivals.
Oh, I was at like a rave like every 3 weeks. And then when I graduated college, it was that summer, 2011. And there was a huge riot on the streets of LA because Cascade was doing like a block party and like all these people came. And then the LA Times like smeared my community. And I was like, fuck this. I'm becoming a music journalist. And I started writing the truth on how like house music saved my life from depression.
Wow.
And I started interviewing DJs and I started like going to festivals and covering them. And then I did LSD, wrong set and setting at Coachella 2012 with my twin flame in my hometown on the anniversary of my best friend's suicide.
Yeah, that's a...
I had no idea that setting. Like I got in a fight, I took the tab, and then like my fucking hell happened. And yeah,
it can happen that way. LSD is one of those things where it's like, you have to be like in the right space.
And I had no idea. Again, I was stupid. I was dumb. And I love her so much. So, cause I just wanted to be accepted then. I was so insecure at that time and all the cool kids were like doing it. And I was like, oh, this is my chance to like finally be like part of the cool kids too, you know? So there's just like a lot of insecurity and all of that. And had a really difficult trip. My best friend came through. It was the anniversary of her death. And I was seeing all this propaganda happening of like mind control. It was in a leather election year. That's when it started to really initiate with me. And I was seeing what's going down and how they were trying to attack the millennials because we're the most fucking powerful generation they've seen. Because we're the dark night of the soul generation that's bridging the old and the new. That's from like one
Krista.
One millennia to the other. Like that's our generation. So they're terrified of us. That's why they're terrified that we're all Bernie. Most of us, majority of us are Bernie Sanders supporters because we're going to shake shit up. And yeah, so I had a really difficult LSD trip. 2 months later, I had my first Kundalini activation. And then 2 months after that, got struck by lightning, went cold turkey on all medicines, all of it. After like a month after I got struck by lightning, I was like, I'm done. Like I need to stop. Started diving deeper in my spiritual path, read like 100 spiritual books in a year. Cause I'm just trying to find these answers. I'm like, why did I get struck by lightning? What the hell is going on? Then I did mushrooms for the first time in Thailand and I had a really difficult trip. Very, very difficult experience because all my shit came up.
Did you have like a shroom shake there?
I had a mushroom shake there. Yes, I did.
Yes. Okay. That is what I stayed away from when I was in Thailand. Because you have
We had to go. We went to like Mushroom Mountain and followed the Yellow Brick Road. And some of the women that I was with that I like just knew, they had like three of them. I had one and I was like,
you just don't know how much they're putting in them.
I had no, again, stupid. I had no idea.
Really, I've had my own experiences. So this is really fun to hear somebody else that's gone like.
Again, storytelling
hard. Alone. You've gone hard.
Yeah. I have very, very high tolerance to things, you know, like I said, like I can, but I didn't for like 7 years. I was like microdosing or even to this day, I still microdose, but So I had that difficult experience in Thailand where all my shit came up. Luckily, one of my girlfriends from college was with me because I was like with this big tour group and I was like, something's wrong. And I just started putting on like it was a New Earth on audiobook that I had of Eckhart Tolle. And I was listening to that and I was like, it was just really intense. So then I didn't touch anything again for a year. Then I went to a festival and I microdosed and Sarah Gale, who was on my podcast, like one of my first guests on the Sovereign Society podcast, she's the She's the one that's in charge of the Zendo project, which creates safe spaces at festivals. And I went to this talk of hers and I just looked at her eye to eye. And it was just like an energetic exchange of like, thank you for seeing me. Cause I was just so, after I got struck by lightning, I couldn't be around anyone. I couldn't do anything. My nervous system was so shot. I could see everyone's energy. And I had no idea what was going on. I didn't have the knowledge I had. The plan, and I'm writing all this in my book. This is why I'm going to Bali. I'm writing all of this in my book, but
you're getting to Bali, right?
Yes. In February, I'm writing all of this.
Awesome.
And I went to Bali too, during that time after I had that difficult mushroom shake. I was only there for a week and the people I was with, they just wanted to party. And I was like, I need to come back here. There's a reason. So I started working with, mushrooms again, like a year after. And then it was just like, that was starting to help me because my grandmother was dying, working with the medicine. And, that was challenging too. Cause I was my mom's mom. So I was in my grandmother's womb, you know, and on the maternal level, it's a lot more intense with the ancestors than our paternal as women. It's just that connection of that motherly energy. And so, then that was what was going on. And then after I went to Oregon Eclipse and I taught at Oregon Eclipse, I saw the eclipse and I was still navigating through shit. I could still see the manipulation and the mind control that was happening, as well as the, it was a lot of distortion that was happening where a lot of us were really targeted and triggered and like targeted individuals as spiritual teachers and spiritual leaders who were shaking shit up, the grid workers. A lot of us have been navigating through some gnarly deprogramming and gnarly like matrix trapped.
Totally. I feel like that's what a lot of this year has been about.
Yes, dismantling the matrix for sure.
Yeah.
And so I was seeing all of this. And then there was a point where I didn't do any medicines at festivals because I had a responsibility to, I just kept hearing like, you're here to help hold space. But then to the point where I was doing it too much, where I became the martyr, which I also had to dismantle that. Mm-hmm. And I saw the eclipse happen. I just taught like 500 to 500 people Kundalini yoga, and people had massive, massive shifts from that course that I met throughout the whole festival. Like, oh my God, I went to your class, blah, blah, blah. And, I watched the eclipse and then I was just by myself. And that was the first time I did sassafras
which is DMT.
Mm-hmm.
Like organic, natural DMT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I went to this talk about like, it was all African-American women and like minority groups. So it's just a whole bunch of minorities speaking on how can we start to have better representation. And it was a really powerful talk. And I was by myself, like still navigating through a lot of shit. Saw my twin flame. Still was not time for us to reconnect because I didn't feel safe because I could see what was going down. The infiltration that was happening energetically. It's the gift. It's one of the gifts that I see. It's always been, that's what happened when I had that difficult LSD trip. I saw what was going on. I saw it for fucking 7 years. At festivals. It was really intense. I just didn't feel safe. And what happened was when I left that festival, I know I'm kind of digressing, but this has been part of the whole journey. When I left that festival, I was by myself driving back from Oregon, and my Garmin, not my phone, 'cause there was no service, had me like driving in the middle of the fucking forest. And the sun was setting and I had no cell service. I'm like, Jesus, take the wheel. Get me the fuck out of here. And I heard loud and clear that if I were to have reunited with my twin then, I wouldn't have been able to have children.
Whoa.
Because that's always been my fear, that I would never be able to give birth. And so before that, like that whole day after the eclipse, 5 people told me, have you done ayahuasca yet? And I was like, no, I haven't. A month later, my friend's hosting an ayahuasca ceremony at his house in Joshua Tree. And I'm like, all right, this is the time. My son came through in that ayahuasca ceremony. His name's Michael David. And he said, he's waiting for me from that plant medicine ceremony as well. I was told that I can't forget about the men because I was always one of the boys growing up. And so ayahuasca has been a massive catalyst for me to heal like that motherly wound. And then I ended up doing LSD again, like 6 years later with a couple friends with cacao. And when my grandmother's sister was about to die and I saw all my ancestors standing shoulder to shoulder, I actually recorded a podcast episode on LSD.
I'll have to go listen to it.
It was like a 2 o'clock in the morning thing. That to me was healing in itself because—
Wait, on LSD?
Yes.
Oh shit. I really have to go listen to it.
Yes. I was on LSD when I'm recording this episode, sharing my story, which was huge for me because I really do believe, like, even being able to speak so openly about this with you right now is so much of my healing. Cause I was terrified to say about the infiltration. I was terrified to share what really went down for so long.
I think a lot of us have been scared.
What's going to happen? But then I know, like, God, I know that spirit, I know that universe, I know that my ancestors have my fucking back. And I have to speak my truth. This is why it's been so phlegmy coming up, like with the ascension flu. This is why, like, I'm speaking my truth. And as I write this book, if there is a publishing house that wants to have me take out all of my story of that, they're not my publishing house. I know so many of my friends that have been published that talk about how cannabis helped them heal, and the publisher had them take it out. That's not my publishing house.
Oh, no way.
Yes way. Because they're afraid of the legality issues. Sorry.
Say, like, when I write my book, it's going to be like the whole fucking book.
But these are the things that are shifting. Like, I do feel like this upcoming decade, psychedelics are going to become more of the conversation. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the congresswoman from New York, from my dad's hometown, she's working to bring in more legislation to the floor about psychedelics. And so obviously, like, my queen, like, I love her. She's my age. She's 30 years old. She's pioneering what is coming into our future. So those are the people I choose to support. These are the people I choose to share, because if I want to see change happen, I have to take action and not hide it and speak about politics and not tell people on Instagram, like, oh, I voted for this person because they're a woman. If that woman has policies I don't agree with, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be voting for you just because you're a woman. Sorry. That's not the way I roll. I don't see that there is this separation. I want to see this as an equal playing field. Like, everyone's like, how can all these young people support an old white man? Because his policies support us. I don't care if there's someone young who's really evil, like Pete Buttigieg, who is just a careerist and doesn't give a shit about people his own generation. I'm going to support someone who actually will stand up for me and has been standing up for me even before I was born. So 2020, you're going to be seeing me talking more about this and educating this more, because this is what I've been shared to also share, because there aren't enough spiritual teachers talking about it.
And also, Sabrina, to, like, write off of what you just said a little bit about, don't forget about the men. Like, we
totally
get so far into, like, feminist, all feminine, but we have to support the men.
The future is female is dangerous. What are you telling all those young boys, those little boys? What kind of society are you putting them in? This is good, just continuing to perpetuate the toxic masculinity we've been navigating through.
By telling them that they're bad.
Yes, exactly. Not all of it's just it's a select few, and it's been the patriarchal system, yes, but there's a lot of really great men out there as well. Yeah, and a lot of men are healing and doing the work.
That's the thing, is a lot of men are healing and there haven't been resources. Now there's, like, Sacred Sons and the Mankind Project and things like that.
My dear friend Nikki Wilkes, who I had on my podcast in November, I went to college with him. He was one of those people that saw me at my pit, like, in college before I had that lightning accident, maybe even after. He's created a whole group in Vashon Island in Washington.
Yeah, Vashon Island. I used to live there. That's
nice. Yeah. So he has this group called Journeymen, where he's helping, like, high school boys, like, become initiated as men. Like, the rites of passage has been a thing that we've also lost in our society as we've evolved as a culture. And so he's helping young boys because he's seeing what's going on. Those are organizations and men I want to continue to support.
Right.
If you're so into this, like, goddess movement, but you're completely separated from what's happening on the planet, you're part of the problem. I'm sorry. It's false light. It's false light and it's so ego driven and you're so detached to what is actually happening that you're doing actually a disservice. So you better check yourself and see what your intention is for the greater good of all, period.
And it's separation. It's still separation at the end of the day. Like, we need to come together and support each other. Even if there have been things that have been done by the masculine in the past, like, we're all collectively healing together to not support the masculine is to also not support that part of you as well. Cause everything
totally
is a reflection.
I just feel like it's what we're seeing in leadership today, politically. They're so ego driven because they're detached from the lower triangle. They're detached from the inner child.
So the lower triangle is
triangle represents the lower three chakras. And for you to live a heart-centered life and to serve from your heart, you have to do the deep internal work, the solar plexus, the sacral, and the root. So literally you have to do that work from like birth to 23, even ancestrally, to be able to live heart-centered. Otherwise you have energetic blocks and your Kundalini life force energy can't flow, plain and simple. So if you're completely detached from what happened in your past, you're part of the problem. Like, you got to do the work. You have to step up. You have to take responsibility and share your truth, share your medicine, and share unapologetically who you are, because there's going to be a deeper level of respect there. And that's what I'm also seeing in 2020. People are spotting bullshit from a mile away.
Totally. People want truth now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But how do you expect to receive truth if you're not sharing your truth?
Right.
Exactly. Or living your truth. You're not going to be able to see it.
I feel like there's been so much coming up around leadership in this conversation. And I feel like there are a lot of people who want to lead right now. Like, we're all seeing the state of the world and we're waking up to truth. We're just, a lot of people are having their awakenings, right? And I'm also feeling like it's important to voice that you can share your medicine now, but you also need to do the healing work.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. That's where we're going.
Yeah. There's no separation. I think there are a lot of people that are like, okay, I'm ready. And it's like, but have you done this healing?
Because I can tell you for damn straight, like, I put myself out there and I mean, it was good because I needed to do it, but I didn't get the results I really wanted until I started sharing my story and doing the really deeper healing things I was afraid of doing.
Totally. And this is so incredibly important because we want to share, we want to lead, but it also takes being brave with ourselves and our own process and like whatever fear is there, whatever story is there or coping mechanism, whatever that is, you have to meet that because that's going to keep getting in the way of your mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just know for me, the reason why I split with my twin, because I realized how much healing I had to do. And I needed to take responsibility for that in my own life. Like, I needed to fill up my own cup first to be able to share from that space. Cause I had a lot of trauma that started at age 3.
Yeah. To share from the overflow.
I had to, I don't believe in the, you complete me things. I'm calling in a partner that's whole. I want to be whole. I know the way that I'm showing up and stepping up and being from that space. And in the meantime, I don't want my kids to have to go through what I've gone through. That's how I'm choosing to be responsible as a future mother. In this decade, I will become a mother.
Mm-hmm. And that's how we become codependent.
Totally. And that's codependency was one of the biggest things I've had to heal.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Coming from an Italian culture too. It's like
Mexican culture over here. So it's like, yeah, they're very similar. And
yes,
like, the man is the provider and yeah.
It's not even that. It's just like the family, like the connection to family and that ethos of it.
Mm-hmm. Which there's, you know, there's a balance between like connecting to family in like a healthy way and then having that be your whole identity and your whole life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as an Italian who has, my dad's one of 8, like my big fat Greek wedding, that movie is my life. Just changed the heritage. Like, my grandmother lived across the street. My family owns a restaurant. We all worked at the restaurant. Like, I was like 10 years old when I saw that in the movie theaters and I left crying. I was like, this is my life. So that's been a huge part of my healing. And even as I get, I'm seeing how some of my cousins, they are having a hard time with things evolving. Like, oh, it's not what it used to be. It's not supposed to be what it used to be.
Nothing
it's supposed to evolve.
Nothing will ever be as it was.
So you had to find gratitude for that and also be optimistic for what's to come. But a lot of my family, they're still so stuck and in that victim mentality and have a lot of healing work that they won't do. But that's not my responsibility. And that's not. And so that's the biggest thing that I've had to also have that discernment and that boundaries. We were never taught. We were never taught boundaries. That's what this last decade has been really teaching me, the boundaries. I didn't know what those were. I had no idea. And I would just be the martyr. I would just overextend myself, the people pleaser. That's what plant medicine really helped me heal, mm-hmm. or the boundaries. Mm-hmm. And to just be aware of my own space and to value my own space.
Totally. And to honor that. So do you have any things that you've learned that you want to share about? Cause I feel like that's really important too, to share about what you've learned about boundaries. Cause I think there are a lot of people that are still learning about that. And boundaries yes. start with boundaries with yourself first, and they're extended outwards.
So my biggest boundaries have had to be work-life balance, because I come from a family of very hard workers. Like my mom and dad, they work like 16 hours a day every day. So, and like rarely any play. So that was a huge thing I'm still really working on, because like there was a point, like especially going through my Saturn return, like financially, I was really struggling. Essentially all of my money, I went towards my business or my healing. And it was a lot, and it was just draining because I would overextend myself. I wasn't taking care of myself. So that boundary can also be like, when do you say enough and no? And like, no, I need to do this for me. Where is that boundary of the people you surround yourself with as your like friends? Is there an equal balance of give and take in your relationships? Learning to say no to friends. Those are all massive things I've had to learn. Mm-hmm. When to say no to family, when to not, especially now that I'm 30, I still have family members that treat me like a child. And I'm like, fuck that, dude. And I can say that now, because now we're all adults here and I know they're my elders and I respect them, but I'm not being respected. Like some people think I'm a joke, like some of my aunts and stuff, like, you don't know what you're talking about. And for a long time, that really crushed me, because these were people I was taught to respect and they're my family. And now it's like, you know what? No, sorry. I'm honoring, like, respect me, you know what I mean? And I'm doing my best here. I'm doing this work not for me. I'm doing this work for the greater good of all. And that's how I knew when I got struck by lightning, my time was not done. Because I always thought I was going to die at the age of 27. Like my best friend got married on my birthday at 28. And the day before the wedding, I still thought I was going to die.
Wow. So you've been in Saturn return this year. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm out of it January 6th. And then there's a little bit of a shadow period. Which is pretty amazing, because January 6th, this is the day that we celebrate in Italian culture when the three wise men came to Mary and delivered the myrrh, the frankincense, and the gold to baby Jesus. So that's the day Saturn is 10 degrees out of my natal Saturn. And that's when you know Saturn, like your Saturn return is done.
Yeah, so this has been my Saturn return year too. I think I did it really well. Like as much as I could, but holy shit, I'm going to celebrate in January too.
Oh yeah. So I'm going to Bali to write the book and get a change of scenery. So I'm going to be in Bali for 2 months, going to Australia for 10 days.
Oh wait, where?
What?
Where and when?
When Bali?
Australia.
Or where? Australia. One of my girlfriends, Catherine, she lives, I'm going to be like all around. I'm actually, my intention is to, interview women that, you know, that I follow on Instagram or whatever, and do live podcast recording in Australia. Like that's kind of my thing. So I'm kind of just trusting the flow. I just have been hearing Australia, and then I'll fly back, and I've got like 3 weddings over the summer and traveling. I just always knew 2020 was the year I was supposed to travel and go to sacred sites and really activate, because I haven't traveled. Like, my whole Saturn return was about me living in Joshua Tree. So I grew up like 20 minutes from here. As I'm talking, like, all this is coming up through like my nasal cavity, like being released. But I was told to come back here to finish doing the last of my inner child healing. God. And if I didn't move to Joshua Tree, I would have never found ayahuasca. Mm-hmm. If I didn't move to Joshua Tree, I wouldn't have been able to do the healing work that I've been able to do and meet people and opportunities. But I do feel like my time in Joshua Tree is coming to completion.
Yeah, I actually met Sabrina in person on, I think it was my 30th birthday.
It was your 30th birthday, yeah.
My 30th birthday through one of our mutual friends in Joshua Tree. Yeah, so it's nice to be doing this podcast with you.
Yeah.
So I was asking about Australia because I'm moving to Australia in February. I don't know if
you're... Are you? I did not know that. Yes. I thought you were going to Mexico.
Well, that's after Australia. So we'll be in Australia for about 6 months, and then we're going to find Papadi and Tulum. So
crazy.
We'll be moving around a bit in Australia. So
I'll keep in flow. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, Sabrina, how can people work with you? How can they receive your medicine and your teachings?
Yes. Starting February 24th, I am launching my 3-month program again, Thrive. And it's a 90-day soulful business activation. So the way that I help people with their business, it's a little different than some people. It's a 3-month container. So month one, we're going to do all the deep internal work. Month two, we're setting the foundation for your business. And then month three is about you like stepping out of the spiritual closet and how to use marketing and social media, setting up your podcast, whatever it is that you want that feels in alignment with you, your YouTube channel, whatever you're feeling called to do. So I start that, February 24th. So the whole time I'm in Bali, I'm going to be hosting Thrive, which is going to be pretty incredible that this round you're going to be able to get the juju and the energy of Bali going through.
That's a thing.
But this, like, journey.
Yeah. Wherever she's at and wherever, you know, even just working with you and the vortex of Joshua Tree, like, you're in that vibration. So whoever it is that's working with you is going to be receiving the medicine of that land.
And Bali's on like on the emerald is what they say, you know? So that's so much of the heart opening. Mm. So this is going to be a really powerful time. So I'm excited to do that. You can listen to the Sovereign Society podcast on wherever you listen to podcasts. I also have an Instagram for that at Sovereign Society Podcast. You can follow me at Sabrina Riccio. And I recently launched my YouTube channel, which I'm going to be sharing more about modern mysticism and marketing and business. So just go to youtube.com/Sabrina Riccio and you can watch all those videos, or also my website, SabrinaRiccio.com. So this is just the chance to really get a deeper dive into my medicine and what I'm here to offer. And I'm really pumped about it because I just believe by blending in the mysticism with the practical, this is how we're going to implement sustainable success in this upcoming decade and from here on out, because we are becoming more increasingly sensitive. We are working more with astrology. We are working more with the metaphysics, remembering who we are at the core. So all those years of healing has taught me so much wisdom, and now to infuse that into business, I'm so pumped to see how we can like come up with a really powerful marketing strategy for you, working with these tools.
Yeah, this sounds super amazing and super powerful. And I'm really excited for you in this next year.
Thank you. I'm busting my ass to get here, man, let me tell you.
Yeah, we're all gearing up. Well, thank you, Sabrina. And I feel like maybe I'll see you next week. We might head out to Joshua Tree. So who knows?
I'm here.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you for being on the podcast and sharing your medicine and your transmissions.
Yes. And I just want to say one last thing to whoever's listening. Just give yourself permission to honor you and to really fill up your cup and to honor the journey and trust this process, because you have so much of your life ahead of you, and it just takes one step at a time to get there. So don't be overwhelmed with what's going on. Like, set the foundation for what it is you want and believe in yourself that it can be accomplished. And you'll be amazed to see what unfolds, because it's going to be far greater than you even know.
Thank you, Sabrina. Yeah, you guys, let that integrate, like really let that land for you. That was powerful.
Yes. Love you all. Take care. And please reach out. Let me know you're tuning in.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Please be sure to share episodes you love with those you know who would benefit. The intention here is to help as many people as possible. And don't forget to subscribe to the True Nature Podcast on iTunes and leave a rating and review. This pushes it to more people. The movement gets bigger. To find out more about spiritual life and business coaching with me and to sign up for the newsletter so you never miss an episode, please visit www.tajsavitri.com. Wishing you all a day full of magic. See you soon.